Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the broadcast today. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue. We're talking about merchants of death. We're referring to abortion with the Planned Parenthood and the abortuaries across America and the death of human beings at the hands of physicians that are murdering the child still in the mother's womb. And most of you are familiar with, ladies and gentlemen, the fact that the Supreme Court just rendered an opinion. By the way, when the Supreme Court makes a decision and issues it, it's called an opinion. And in that opinion, the Supreme Court said that Roe v. Wade of 1973 had no fundamental foundation, fountainheading from the Constitution. And it was a mistake then, and they said it needs to be overturned, and they did that very thing. As a result of that, we have chaos, confusion, and the Democrats running around like the hairs on fire out of Washington and across the nation, screaming that we are not interested in women, that somehow, some way, the conservatives, the Christians and conservatives are against women's and women's rights, etc. In fact, we're talking with today Tawana Amon, that is head of the Right to Life in Broward County, Florida. She is here in the studio with us today with John, her husband. John and Tawana are family members, and I am thankful for what Tawana is doing in honoring the Lord and trying to rescue human beings that their life is in danger in the abortion clinics. Tawana, I'm looking at the headline. It says, Elizabeth Warren calls for the crackdown on crisis pregnancy centers. And Elizabeth Warren goes on to say that these crisis pregnancy centers are deceptive outfits, said they're fronts for groups that are trying to harass and otherwise frighten people who are pregnant to keep them from seeking an abortion. And they do so under the cover of pretending to offer abortion services. And Elizabeth Warren goes on to say that I want these centers to provide full disclosure of the services they offer. And if they were to provide full disclosure of their services, pregnant women who use them would plummet to zero. How do you respond to such statements as that from Elizabeth Warren?
I think that the Democrats, in their desire to create a abortion-focused country and make abortion the only option, I think that the fact that we believe these pregnancy centers, we work with these pregnancy centers, we know the leaders, many of the leaders of these pregnancy centers have had abortions themselves, have suffered physically and emotionally themselves. They are in the work because they have suffered great loss and great pain. And when you go into a pregnancy center who's sitting down with you and helping you understand the development of the unborn, and we're Christians, we're faith focused. So We're focused on the fact that we're trying to help them understand what God's word says.
Right.
We're trying to help them understand that the scripture in Psalm 139, 13 through 16, that says, I formed you in the womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. In Genesis 1:27, that we're created in the image and likeness of God. So these individuals that sit before us, and we try to help them understand that you don't have a blob in your body. You have a child, a creation of God. And we want to help them walk through the pregnancy, and to think that these women would be condemned and criticized for trying to help women keep their babies, as if that's some kind of, I mean, to think we're living in a culture where the mindset is, let's get women to think that babies are a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Democrats have just recently come out with, I think they want to stop the mother, change the word mother to birthing parent. I mean, wherever Mother's Day, Father's Day, we have parents, we have, you know, the nuclear family is being whittled away.
That's
and
right.
Destroyed. Mm-hmm. And in the course of that, no one is spending too much time on the left talking about single parenting, talking about the lack of the father in the home, talking about the numbers of pregnancies that go up when the father's not in the home, and the drugs and the alcohol issues. So all of these things, when you break down the nuclear family, causes a breakdown of the children. And there isn't an emphasis on that. It's just do what you want. It's like, I believe that abortion is a method of birth control, that when a woman gets pregnant, I know there's difficult circumstances. I understand. I've had one. I had it myself. But it's also the fact that there's always hope. So what we're trying to do is help them understand that your circumstances change, your life changes, but the child that you have in your womb, we don't know what that child will become. We don't know what that child will end up doing in this world. And he could be the next president. He could be the next prophet. Who knows what he's going to be? But to think that we as individuals would choose who would live and die, like that we actually make the decisions of whose lives we will protect and whose lives we want. And I think I'm thankful for the many pregnancy centers all over the country that every day, even after having maybe over 50 over this past overturning of Roe, being vandalized and even literally destroyed because of their pro-life work, as if they're, you know, we're evil people. We're not evil people. We love women, we love children, and we're trying to help create the family. And if you don't want the baby, if you can't have a child, there's always adoption. And that's another thing we really promote, and so do the pregnancy centers.
That's good. We all are familiar with the fact that Roe versus Wade was overturned. And as a result of that, you hear the left saying that women will no longer get health care, that women are now being rejected and basically a throwaway. Because Roe versus Wade was overturned, does that have the connotation that abortion is not available in America anymore? Speak to that.
Yes, and I think that there's this idea that the Democrats, when they want to put fear, it's like fear-mongering. Mm-hmm. The idea that they're going to start promoting via the liberal media that the rights are being taken away, and it'll even get to contraception. You won't be able to get contraception anymore. And and I think it really is a lie, because there's so many organizations that medical abortions, the chemical abortions where the woman takes the two-part pill, is now over 50% of the cases are chemical abortions. So they're much more easy to get now. There's you know, women, you go into an abortion facility in Florida and you can get an abortion. No one has been able to, you know, no one stopped a woman from having an abortion. Now, in the states where you would call the red states, which is one of our states, you will see that the legislature, the Senate and the House of that state will elect people who will choose to have more stringent laws protecting the unborn. And in the blue states, you will have the more liberal laws allowing abortion. But it will go back to the states, and it will go back to the individuals choosing their representatives, and it's about the people. We're the people. We the people. We decide. Not a 9-member court decides the rules of the land. They are not legislators. It comes back to our states deciding the laws. And that's why when we get back into the trenches, which is what we do, and get back into our grassroots work and our grassroots effort, we're going to be stepping up, meeting with pastors and leaders and educating more and more people on the development of the unborn and how they can get involved in speaking out and equipping and educating so we can vote pro-life individuals into Amen. Office. And that's really, you know, we have to remember
that's a vital issue.
That's a vital issue and such an important issue. And people who are Christians, some will say, well, we don't want to discuss voting and Christians. Well, our founding was based on the right to vote. Mm-hmm. And the leaders that were in office, the majority of them, our founding fathers, were believers, were Christians. And they never intended it to be like this, to where Christians sat home and sat out elections. When we sit out elections and people, you know, Biden is the most pro-abortion president that we've ever had.
Absolutely.
And it is sad that we had Christians that didn't like Trump, so they sat out and allowed someone into office now who we're looking at what's going on in so many areas with inflation and with all the different things going on with gas prices. And that did not happen under, I'm sorry, that did not happen under Trump's watch. So it's just, it's sad how in just a few years where we are and how rapidly, you know, I mean, I'm thankful for the midterm elections because I hope that many people will get out and vote.
Absolutely.
And vote pro-life representatives and know the people that they're voting for, know their issues. I mean, people get on this campaign trail and they make these stump speeches and they tell you just what you want to hear. I'm pro-life. And then they don't vote pro-life. I mean, we have Republicans in our Florida legislature that does not vote pro-life. And they've said that they're pro-life. So we're trying to figure out, scratching our heads, like, wait a minute. We voted you into office because you said you'd defend the unborn. And yet when it comes down to a vote, you don't vote on the pro-life issue. So I think
we call those folks rhinos.
Yeah, that's right. So I think it's very, very important for Christians to become much more of an activist in their community on a grassroots level.
Yes.
And to get involved in their pregnancy centers and their right to life groups and to just be a part of the process and even to go to their churches and to say to the pastor, let's do a voter registration drive. I mean, if every church did that or even 20 churches in each of the counties, it could make such a big dent. Yeah. In, I mean, I think we've hit in our this past month or 6 months, there's been over 1 million Republican registered to vote. And finally, we surpassed the Democrats. And I think that what's happening is people in our country are seeing things wrong. They're seeing that things are not going in the right way. And I'm hoping and praying that, you know, in the next election, things will get reversed.
Absolutely. To what I'm thinking as you're speaking, and I'm thankful that you're here.
Thank you.
I'm thankful for your statements, and it's my prayer to our listeners today that they will respond in their heart before the Lord is what God would have them to do. Mm. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're tuned in today and you're interested in asking Tawana a question in relationship to her work in ministry and right to life, or a question in relationship to what an abortion center will do or will say and the deception that takes place there, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question, your comment, dialogue and questions in relationship to the subject of today. Tawana, we have a 15-week ban on abortions in the state of Florida. What's the status of that now?
Well, it's interesting that there was a judge, Judge Cooper, who tried to put a hold on the 15-week ban, but Ashley Moody, our attorney general, did a process, and it's actually still in effect. So the 15-week ban, a lot of people think that it's been held up because the Judge Cooper tried to do that, but was not successful. It's still going through the court process, so it will make its way up to the Florida Supreme Court. But we have a lot of good conservative judges that interpret the law based on what the law says, not based on what they want it to be.
In fact, we have probably the most conservative Supreme Court in the state of Florida that we've had in 40, 50 years.
Yeah, they when we went to our pro-life summit, that was one of the things that they said, that we do have such a conservative and strong Florida Supreme Court. So, you know, when you think about a woman who's pregnant at 14 to 16 weeks when the the kicking begins. They call it quickening. So the woman starts feeling the baby kick because now the baby's the size of a pear, about 8 to 9 ounces, and moving around like an acrobat in the womb. Mm-hmm. So if you're thinking, you know, it's, to me, it's just appalling to think that there are individuals that are angry that women do not have, oh, well, the circumstances that they're in, and we understand their hard circumstances and these problems that women are facing. But this child is a baby. I mean, when they do the D&E procedure, and, you know, just for the sake of any children or young people out there, this is graphic information, that they literally have to take forceps and tear. I mean, it's hard for me to say that, you know, it's like you think about the poor chicken that got beat to death. and you think that he's, you know, flailing around in the little ditch, and everybody's like, oh, how sad that this poor chicken died. And you think about unborn children in the womb being torn apart limb from limb, and then the abortionist will take a tray. And because he has to make sure that he gets all the elements, all yes. of the baby, and so there's not an incomplete abortion, he will put that child together again. And I can't even, to me, I just don't even understand how a physician, I mean, they have a medical license. I don't know how they got it, but, you know, they have a medical license to perform this procedure. You know, it just is appalling. So I think that abortion, I believe that our legislature, the Florida legislature, is going to work to move that ball closer to the 6-week point. I believe that it's going to get to a point where maybe even the next legislative session, which is in February and March, there'll be a bill maybe introduced, like the heartbeat bill.
Heartbeat bill, yes.
That will try to protect a child. It's like when a heartbeat is detected, the child is protected. And the fact that what will happen is there'll be all kinds of arguments about, well, you don't know when the 6-week mark is, and you don't know exactly how far along an individual is. You know when that person, there are ultrasounds that you can get. You know when that person is hitting that 6 and 7 week mark. You know when you can hear that unborn baby on the Doppler, radar, the heartbeat. So I think the fear is we live in a society where women say, it's my body, my choice, bans off my body. And that's the idea that you can't tell me what to do. And that's the kind of society we live in. We live in this self-righteous society that says, I'm going to do what I want. If I get pregnant, if I want the baby, I can have it. And the mentality is, it's a baby. So you're going out there and you're saying, you are getting pregnant. I believe in abstinence. I don't believe in having these unhealthy relationships. I believe that I counsel so many women that go into relationships and then they end and they're suffering afterwards. There's so much brokenness after a broken relationship. I believe that when you put the physical into it, it only complicates things and causes more pain and heartache to the men and the women. So I know that it's not easy to wait, but I waited, and I've counseled many teens and adults who have said, I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to wait. And it's the healthiest way to do it.
Yes.
And I think that sadly, when you get into these unhealthy relationships, women feel used after it's over and abused after it's over. And then they have Baldwin. I don't know her first name. Alec Baldwin's daughter, I think, or at least one of the Baldwin's daughters. She came out after the Roe v. Wade ruling, and she said, you know, I had an abortion, kind of proud to come out, you know, a celebrity, and say, I had an abortion. And I was in this relationship with this individual who didn't even really want a relationship, she said, didn't even really want a serious relationship. And you're thinking to yourself, you're with someone, you know, logically thinking, you're with someone who doesn't want to be in a relationship, even a serious relationship. And you're having a sexual relationship and you get pregnant, mm-hmm. and then you're saying, she says, and then I said, what's going to happen? It's my body. It's my choice. I chose me, and I choose me again. And I thought, what a glaring statement for a woman who's pregnant with a child to say, I choose me. Because you know what? That child in the womb has its own fingerprints, its own blood type. It's an individual. It is not when you're meant to be maternal to take care of that baby. God gave you that responsibility for 9 months. And after that baby comes out, the afterbirth comes out, that baby is an individual with its own DNA separate from yours. The two of you have come together but created this beautiful, beautiful human life. And to think that individuals are going out there so proud of their abortion saying, you know what? I chose me. Well, you know what? I don't believe that's wise. I believe you're supposed to put your baby first. I believe you're supposed to choose your family first.
Yeah.
I believe that abortion is the most selfish thing that a woman can do. And I am speaking from having one myself and understanding that it was about me. But when you have a life in the womb, it no longer becomes about you. It becomes about the fact that you're a mother and you're going to have a baby. And this child depends on you.
Yes.
And we're trying to help women that get pregnant understand that value of that human life that they're carrying in the womb.
I find it sad, Tawana, that if there's an automobile accident and there's a pregnant woman in the car and her child is killed, the lawsuit can be filed and damages collected for the life of that child that was killed in that automobile accident. But yet there can be an abortion and there's a lack of sensitivity that is a human being. How many abortions are taking place each year in the state of Florida?
Well, the numbers are, there were 79,000 in 2021. And you know, what's interesting, I'm glad you asked that, Uncle Gene, my uncle, I'm glad you asked that because the breakdown of the reasons, you know, people will say when I was debating Planned Parenthood's representative yesterday on a Channel 10 station in South Florida yesterday, the woman brought up the numbers and as if the fetal anomalies are this high number. So I want to just quickly give the breakdown because it's really important for individuals to understand that these numbers are the Florida Department of Health, mm-hmm. Office of Vital Statistics. So they're not biased. These are just the termination of pregnancy. So no matter whether it's a doctor that does an abortion or an abortionist at an abortion facility, the numbers go up to the Florida Department of Health, and that's how they get these numbers. And so when you look at the totals, you see that 59,000 were for elective choice. So when the woman went in, she didn't say, it's the physical health of my life. My life is in danger. I have a fetal abnormality. So let's break it down. So the woman that said, I have social economic problems. Now, remember, that's the majority they claim is right. The reason that women go in. But the numbers don't reflect that because the numbers of socioeconomics is 16,000. Now, that's still 16. But when you look at 80,000 total, you think, well, shouldn't it be more than that if you say the majority is for socioeconomic reasons? And then you say the emotional and physical health of the mother is 1,500. Then it says the physical health of the mother that's not life endangering, 1,000. And then you have life endangering with a physical condition, 100. And then you have the serious fetal genetic defect, 750. And then you have rape, 118. Which is another one of those reasons that they give, and there's such a small number of them, and then incest is 8. So it gives you an understanding of the fact that many of these women who are in their 20s when they come in to have an abortion, they're 20 to 29, that's the majority, when they over 60%, when they come in, they are in their 20s. Some of them have a child or maybe even two children, but they don't want the child. It's not the right time. They already have children. They're not ready to have another child. They might be out of work or whatever, but generally speaking, they say it's not the right time. And I think that's what you need to understand. Women are going in for abortions every day, and they're saying, I just don't want a baby. And you look at the left, you look at the Democrats, that's what they're saying. That's their mantra. I don't want a baby. Mm-hmm. Hands off my body. It's exactly going along with what the numbers are reflecting in Florida.
In fact, I read an article just this past week, Tawana, that one lady reported that she had had 26 abortions.
Wow.
26. Just using it as birth control. 26 murders. It's unfathomable to me that a person could do that and still say it's my life, my body, and I can do as I please. Mm-hmm. When I'm looking at an article that says, Joe Biden signs a meaningless executive order on abortion. Joe Biden on Friday surrounded himself with the abortion fans, including those representing the extreme perspective, such as Health and Human Services Secretary, to sign his executive order demanded by the Democrats that claims to protect access to abortions nationwide. The abortion extremists in Congress even have demanded that the federal government set up abortion businesses on federal property, such as Yellowstone National Park, Mount Rushmore Monument, to provide abortions. How do you respond to that mindset that we're going to set up now abortion clinics, I call them murder centers, on federal properties because supposedly women do not have access to it? Relate to that in your thoughts and your response to Biden's executive order. Is it meaningless? Does it have teeth in it? Is it going to be something that is going to enhance or exacerbate abortions? What is your take on that?
I think that it took him a while to get to a point where he actually stood up and did the executive order. So it was a couple of weeks. So I think he got a lot of pressure from AOC and other liberal individuals who were pressuring him to do something. And I actually downloaded a Washington Post article that I thought was good in relation to what you're talking about, because it said President Biden has made clear that the only way to secure a woman's right to choose is for Congress to restore the protections of Roe as federal law. Until then, he's committed to doing anything he can in his power to defend and protect reproductive rights. But at this point, because the abortion issue is not a fundamental right now, it's not a constitutional right, that he doesn't have the power to do anything about that.
Right.
It doesn't have any teeth to it. So people can feel better because he's saying something to support what they believe and everything, but they cannot change the way the wheels are turning now and the way the influence will be in our states, in our different counties, and that kind of thing. So I think that we're thankful that it was overturned. We give God the glory it was overturned. It's almost 50 years and 63 million lost. Who knows how many more with the medical abortions and all those things going on. So we're just very, very thankful to God that it's no longer the law of the land. Amen. And it's no longer a constitutional right. You shouldn't have the right to kill your baby. It's
Absolutely.
A baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Juana in relationship to her position with the Broward County Right to Life Movement, a Christian organization. May I encourage you to give prayerful consideration to what you've heard today and inculcate that in your life. And if there's a question in relationship to that, Twana, is there a national Right to Life number that people could call?
You know, I'll give them my email. I actually got some emails from the broadcast that I did yesterday. So if you want to reach me, and I know there were a couple of calls in and they hung up, so you can reach me at mail, M-A-I-L, at Broward, Broward, B-R-O-W-A-R-D, just like Right to Life, RightToLife.org. Mail at BrowardRightToLife.org. You can send me an email. I will respond. I will try to answer any questions or comments you have. But my heart is to protect unborn babies and their mothers and fathers.
Amen. Well, Tawana, thank you for being with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues
with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.